الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue our studies of the greatest verse in the entire Quran, and that is Ayatul Kursi, and that is Ayat Al-Kursi. And we have taken a beneficial introduction in the previous class, clarifying that this is the greatest verse, and clarifying the wisdom behind that, and that the reason why Ayatul Kursi is the greatest verse is because it's all about the clarification of a Tawheed and clarifying the beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He is powerful and strong, and that He needs nothing whatsoever, and He never gets sleepy or tired, and He's not hungry. Rather, He is the one who feeds and He is not fed, and He is the one who gives protection and no one can protect against Him, and nothing happens in His creation except with His permission. And although this information and these great benefits are clarified in many places in the Quran, they are clarified in a number of different chapters and different verses, but that clarification now is all gathered in this one verse. So that which is mentioned about the greatness of Allah and His beautiful names and attributes in different places all throughout the Quran is gathered all together in this one verse, therefore making it the best and the greatest single verse in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, we have seen as well in our previous class that because of the great virtue of this particular verse, it is legislated and recommended, and from the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite it 8 times every day and every night. To recite it 8 times every day and every night. And that is 5 times after the obligatory prayer. And likewise, 1 time before going to sleep. And as well, 1 time with the morning adhkar after the Fajr prayer. And after the adhkar of the Fajr prayer and before the sunrise, this is the best time to recite that, although it's allowed to recite it after sunrise for somebody who was not able to recite it before sunrise. And likewise, after the Asr prayer and the adhkar of the evening, and the adhkar of the evening, which will be after the Asr prayer, but before the Maghrib. So these are 8 different times in one day that it is recommended for a believer to recite Ayatul Kursi. And this is an indication of the greatness of this verse and the great benefit of this verse likewise. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has clarified, barakallahu fikum, that the one who recites it before he goes to sleep, Allah Azza wa Jal will send him a guardian to protect him, and that the devils will not be able to come near him until he wakes. And likewise, the one who recites Ayatul Kursi in the morning time and in the evening time from those adhkar, the jinn, they will not be able to harm him. They will not be able to affect him or to bother him. He will have protection likewise throughout his day and throughout his night by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. For the one who recites Ayatul Kursi in the morning adhkar and in the evening adhkar. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that the one who recites Ayatul Kursi after every obligatory prayer, there is nothing prohibiting him from entering the paradise except for death. Meaning that if he continued upon that way and he performed that properly, whenever he dies, he will enter paradise and he will be from the people of paradise. That reciting Ayatul Kursi after the obligatory prayers daily will be a means that will help lead a person to the Jannah, to the paradise, and to be safe from the hellfire. But now we must remind one another, barakallahu fikum, that the likes of this verse and the rest of the Quran in entirety, and likewise the adhkar that have come in the prophetic sunnah All of them are very beneficial. This is beneficial knowledge, and it is beneficial in itself, and the revelation is great and beneficial. But for us to benefit from it, it's not sufficient only to recite it and to say it on our tongues. But rather, we have to recite it and say it on our tongues, and likewise, we have to understand the meaning. And we have to believe in those meanings. And we have to comprehend and reflect upon them in order to truly benefit. So the adhkar from the Quran and from the Sunnah that we recite after the prayer, that we recite before we sleep, and that we recite whenever we wake, and that we recite in the morning and in the evening time and throughout the days, these are means for protection that Allah Azza wa Jal, He has legislated for us to be protected. And there are means for us to obtain the help and the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal. There are means that Allah has legislated for us to obtain His protection and His help, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this will only come whenever the heart is involved with the tongue. Whenever the person, he makes the adhkar with his tongue and he reflects and understands and ponders and benefits from what he's saying and what he's reciting and what he's reading. And therefore, the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that the adhkar and the ad'iyah, al-adhkar wal-ad'iyah, the adhkar, the remembrances in the morning and the nighttime, and the supplications that one calls on Allah with, they're like al-hisan aw al-silah. They're like a fortress, a means to fortify a believer and keep him strong, strong with faith and tawheed. And likewise, they're the weapon, silah al-mu'min al-du'a. The weapon of a believer is supplication and calling on Allah. Because if you call on Allah and you supplicate to Him and He helps you and protects you, no one can harm you. No enemy can harm you, even if they all got together to harm you and Allah has protected you and granted you safety and security, no one can harm you whatsoever. So the greatest weapon and the greatest means of defense for a believer in this life and likewise in the hereafter is to supplicate and call on Allah and to remember Him. And to remember Him subhanahu wa ta'ala by reciting His book, especially the best verse in His book, Ayat al-Kursi. And by remembering Him, by making the adhkar that have come from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we have an example. We have the example of the supplication being compared to a weapon or to a means of fortification. A means of fortification, yani strengthening oneself and keeping him protected and strong. So if somebody has like a weapon, like a bow and arrow, for example, he's got a bow and arrow and anybody comes around, some bad guys come, he can shoot him and get him away from him. For example, he has a strong bow and a strong arrow and it's very powerful. Or he has like a very strong sword. It's very heavy and it's super strong and powerful and sharp. If it strikes somebody, it will knock them down. It will hurt them really bad. But then somebody comes along and he can barely even pick up the sword because his hand is so weak. His arm is so weak, he's got little bitty arms. He tries to pick up this big sword, he's just dragging it behind him. Is he going to be able to strike an enemy? No, he will not be able to strike an enemy. What about somebody whose arm is so weak? His arm is so weak and then he tries to pull the arrow back and he can barely even pull the string and then it barely even opens and then he's just like this and then the arrow falls down right in front of him or it shoots like 2-3 feet in front of him and the enemy is looking at him. What are you doing, man? Are you serious? You're going to shoot me with that? You can't even pull it. You can barely even hold that thing in your hand. Watch out. So this is the example. Likewise with the supplication. On the other hand, if a strong man came and he picked up that sword and he's holding it around and the enemy is coming, he's like, come over here and see what I do. And they're like, whoa. And then he picks the sword up and he's swinging it around. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, we're going to go back home. We don't want to mess with you. Because he's picking up the sword and he's very strong and he's swinging it around with one hand and he's got much skill with it. And likewise, he pulls out the arrow and then puts it in his bow. And he's like, you come over here. I'm going to shoot you with this right in your chest. Come on. Huh? Come close. Get closer. Let me shoot you with it. And he pulls it way back like this, like ready just to let it fly. And they'll see him like, oh, no, we're not going to mess with him. He's strong. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to hold the arrows good. So therefore, the weapon is beneficial for him. So the weapon in itself, a strong sword, a mighty bow and arrow, this is very beneficial. But if the person who uses it is weak, or he doesn't even know how to use it, then it's not going to be very beneficial for him. Maybe he's strong, and then he looks at the bow and arrow and he puts it on backwards. He's like, how does this go in the first place? And he puts the arrow on the wrong way, and the feather's in the end. And then he tried to shoot it like this, and it's like boing and fall. Like, wait, what's wrong with this thing? What is this thing anyways? Right? He'll be like, what are you doing? It's not going to benefit him, even if he's strong, and he physically, but he does not know how to wield the weapon and carry the weapon and use the weapon, it will not be beneficial for him. Do we understand? And that's the comparison that the scholars, they have made with the supplication. And this is what Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he has mentioned about this affair. He has mentioned about this affair that the supplication and the adhkar and the dua is very, very strong and beneficial. But if the one who is saying them is weak, his faith is weak, and he's not focused, and he's not having determination whenever he mentions them, or he's not paying attention, or he's just running the words off of his lips without understanding the meaning, or without thinking or reflecting upon them, or without even knowing what he's saying, and the likes like this, then as well, with regards to him, the benefit of the dua for him is going to be weak. It's going to be weak because he's not using the supplication properly. So in order for the supplication and the adhkar and the recitation of the Ayatul Kursi, and other than that, in order for it to be beneficial, we have to reflect upon its meaning. We have to understand what it means. And we have to say that with faith and with belief. For example, whenever we say it after the obligatory prayers, we believe that this is a means for Allah to protect us from the jinn. And therefore we say it and we think about the meaning and reflect upon that. And then we benefit. And we believe that this is the way of our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's why we're saying it. And before we go to bed, likewise we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is our Creator, and that He's powerful and strong, and that He has created in this life likewise other creation, and from them the jinn, and some of them they want to harm us. And we believe in our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which He has informed us, that Allah will protect us from the devil while we're sleeping if we recite this verse. So therefore we recite it. And we think about the meaning. And we benefit in this manner. And we say it upon faith because we follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we don't just say it because Umi said say it, or because Abi said say it, or just saying it because this is what we do. La, we say it because we believe in Allah. And we believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we want to be protected from the jinn. And we want to be protected from the jinn. So this is very important, first and foremost, that we make these adhkar and we recite in this manner, pondering and reflecting over the meaning. And this only comes for the one who has studied and learned the meaning. So in order to ponder and reflect, we have to study and learn, first and foremost, because you cannot ponder and reflect over something that you do not know. So therefore, now we see likewise the great importance of studying the tafsir and the interpretation of the Qur'an, and likewise the explanation of the narrations of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we know the meanings. So we know the meaning so that we can benefit. And with regards to Ayat al-Kursi, then this verse, this noble and great verse, contains the greatest meanings. And that is the clarification of the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah alone, He is the one who is worthy of worship. Because He is alive and He never dies. Because He is the one who has command and authority over all things. Because He is the one who was created and given everything its shape and its form. And He is the provider and the sustainer of all things. And He needs nothing whatsoever. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, this is the clarification of that. And to recite this verse 8 times in one day, pondering and reflecting, this is a means to cultivate the Tawheed in the heart of a believer. that the Tawheed will be cultivated and it will be grown and it will be nourished and it will be kept strong. And that seed will grow into a great tree and great fruits and many benefits for the believer. The tree of faith. And the tree of faith, just like the trees outside, they have to have water and light and nourishment in order for them to grow and to flourish and to produce beautiful fruits and benefits. So likewise, the tree of faith in the heart, it has to be watered and cared for and cultivated. And the water of the faith, watering the faith means to study and to learn and to review the knowledge. And then after that, to recite the Book of Allah with reflecting and to recite the adhkar in the daytime and the nighttime with pondering and understanding the meaning. And this manner, the tree of faith in our hearts, by the permission of Allah, it will grow and it will be strong. But as for if we do not make the adhkar and we do not remember Allah and we do not study about these affairs and we do not review them, then the tree of faith will wither up and become weak. And a person, if his tree of faith is strong, then he has much benefit with him. And he is very beautiful in his manners and conduct. And he is a very good person. But if that faith becomes weak and withers up, then he starts to become exposed. And he has bad words and says and does bad things. And then eventually maybe he will become a bad person. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ And the bad people, they go to the hellfire. And as for the good people, then they have the pleasure of Allah and they go to paradise. So from the means of cultivating that tree, the tree of faith in the heart of a believer, is to recite Ayatul Kursi and to ponder and reflect over its meanings and to remember that. So in this great verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned many benefits. From them is what Ibn al-Kathir has mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his tafsir. He has mentioned a tremendous benefit. And this comes likewise from reflecting and pondering. He said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةُ مُشْتَمِلَةٌ عَلَىٰ عَشْرِ جُمَلٍ مُسْتَقِلَّةٍ وهذه الآية مشتملة على عشر جمل مستقلة. And this verse here consists of 10 individual sentences. This verse here consists of 10 individual sentences. I want to remind all of you, my noble children, may Allah bless you and increase you in good. It's an obligation in this class to memorize Ayatul Kursi for those who have not yet memorized it, and also to memorize the meaning in English along with that. And from the means that will help us do that is to understand Ayatul Kursi like this, 10 sentences, and you memorize them sentence by sentence with the translation. So this understanding is as follows. The first sentence, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa. Allah, there is nothing worthy of worship except for Him. This is the first sentence. The second sentence, Al-Hayyu al-Qayyum. And He is the ever-living and the one who sustains and protects all that exists. Al-Hayyu al-Qayyum, the ever-living, the one who is alive and never dies, and he is sustaining and protecting everything that exists. The third sentence, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. No sleepiness or tiredness overcomes him whatsoever. Meaning he does not get sleepy, nor does he get tired. The fourth sentence, له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. Everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Him alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ The fifth sentence. And who is it that can intercede on His behalf except with His permission? Meaning no one can intercede with Allah except with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the sixth sentence. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. He knows everything that is in front of them and that which is behind them. Meaning he knows everything that will happen, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He knows everything that will happen in this life to His creation. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. This is number 7. And they will never encompass anything of His knowledge except that which He wills. Meaning the people will never understand anything about Allah Azza wa Jal and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that which Allah allows. Except that which Allah allows and permits. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرُضِ. And His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth. This is the eighth sentence. And after this, وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. And He does not get tired in guarding and preserving them. It does not make Allah tired to guard and protect the heavens and the earth. It's easy for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last in the tenth sentence, وَهُوَ Al-Aliyu Al-Azim. And He is the Most High. And He is the Most High and the Most Great. And He is the Most High and the Most Great. So these are the 10 sentences that the greatest verse in the Quran consists of. And each one of them is great and very beneficial. And clarifying a beautiful name or attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a beautiful name or attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this beautiful verse and in these 10 sentences, there are 5 beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, He mentioned in this verse 5 of His beautiful names. And likewise, in this verse, there are more than 20 attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. There are more than 20 attributes mentioned in this verse. In this verse, there are 10 sentences. In these sentences, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned 5 of His beautiful names. And also from the benefits here is that Allah has mentioned over 20 of His attributes of perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are some of the benefits that we will study in detail little by little and sentence by sentence, beginning with the first sentence and the greatest statement and the heaviest word and the most beneficial kalima, and that is Allahu la ilaha illahu. Allah, there is nothing worthy of worship except for Him. And this is the statement of Tawheed. كلمة التوحيد وكلمة الإخلاص والكلمة الطيبة والعروة الوثقى والعروة الوثقى. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.